Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good. Okay, our scripture reading for today is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through to 18. So if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to do Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through to 18. Okay, let me read it for you. But I said, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is God's word today. Amen. Okay, it's truly good to be back here and to see you guys again. I'm still nervous. It's not easy for me. It's not easy job for me to preach to English-speaking congregations. I'm very good at speaking Korean, but I'm not good, very good speaking English. But I really appreciate your patience and your generosity. You know what? I didn't expect to preach twice, you know, at this pulpit, because when Pastor Mark asked me, Pastor Chan, would you able to preach and step in his spot while he was away, I assumed it would be once, not twice, but it turned out two Sundays. So I'm kind of, I realized I made a huge mistake, you know what, so I'm kind of jealous of the Pastor Mark. He's on vacation. I have no vacation so far. So, anyhow, but I really enjoyed speaking the God's word and preaching and sharing gospel with any people, any congregations. And you know what? So I really appreciate your listening. Anyway, okay, let's dig into the God's word today. So before we plunge into our text today, verse 16 through 18, first of all, I want to draw your attention on to verse 13 and 14 of Galatians chapter 5. So if you look at verse 13, this is what Paul said to the Galatian churches. For you are called freedom, brothers. You are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but through the love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. Here is the good news for Christians. If you look at the first half of the verse 13, you will see you were called to freedom, brothers. So by brothers, Paul meant Christians in Galatians, right? Therefore, I think this is good news for Christians, believers in Galatians in the first century. But I believe the same here for us today. But wait a minute. Let me finish the reading second half of verse 13 and 14. Do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but through the love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. So how do you feel about that? Very first part of verse 13, you are called to freedom. Sounds great, right? So you are called to freedom. But second half of the verse 13, it says, do not use your freedom as opportunity for the flesh, but through the love, serve one another. So how do you feel about that? Sounds great? Sounds good? Is it that sounds good news as well? For me, no. Second part is not actually. Because what Paul is saying is believers has been given freedom. However, freedom is not freedom to indulge the flesh. It's not freedom to do whatever you want. It is not freedom to ignore the law of God. If anything, it is freedom to love one another. It is the freedom to serve one another through the love. So I can say the only activity which we can perform in freedom is love. What's more, this love is not an option that we can choose. Loving others is not a matter of choice. It is commanded and very radical. Look at verse 14. Paul said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is very radical, isn't it? So to put it another way, what Paul is saying is that you are called in our freedom to care for others as I do care for myself. So what do you think about this? So if you take this command very seriously, I believe you will instinctively know it seems impossible. Because love is not easy job for us to do. Let me tell you why. Because love others is to be vulnerable. C.S. Lewis, one of the great English writers, Christian writers, says, let me quote what he's saying. Quote begin. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrong and possibly be broken. This is what he said, quote end. So loving others is making yourself be vulnerable. So it doesn't sound easy, right? So if this is a Christian life, loving or caring for others as I care for myself, what if this is what Christian life is about? Then it seems impossible. So every time I realize that I'm supposed to love others, no matter who they are, I'm supposed to care for others as I do care of myself, I feel hopeless because I can't do exactly what our Lord wants me to do. I feel hopeless to ever live it out. So I feel kind of a discouragement. How about you? Is it kind of challenging or kind of encouragement? How do you feel about discouragement? I feel kind of discouragement. So as for this kind of discouragement, Paul gave us great answer in our text today, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through the 18. The answer is simple in verse 16. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. The question is, how can we love others? How can we care for others as much as I do care for myself? The Paul's answer is very simple. It says, walk by the Spirit. So when you think the Christian life looks like too hard or too difficult, we must come to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and remember that we are not called to live by ourselves. But we must live it by the Spirit of God. The good news is this. Okay, it is not primarily our works, but God's work. Therefore, we must simply learn to walk by the Spirit in doing so. As far as we remember, at the moment of the salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the life of Christians and becomes the resource and energy and power for the Christian life. The John Stott, do you remember who he is? John Stott, the great British preacher of 20th century, he says, Christian life is life in the spirit. So it will be impossible to be a Christian, let alone to live, grow as a Christian without the ministry of gracious Spirit of God. All we have and are as Christians, we owe to him. Quote end. So therefore, walking by the Spirit is very basic to Christian. Not only specific group of Christian, but every Christians. Not only the Christians in Colossians, but also every Christians in all over the world. So walking by the Spirit is basic to Christians, is basic to holiness. If you pursue the holiness as a Christian, you must come to this truth, the walking by the Spirit. Then you have to remember what Paul says. We are not called to live by ourselves, but by the Spirit of God. The question is, today is this. So what is walking by the Spirit? What is walking by the Spirit? I would say, simply speaking, it could mean you ought to follow the Spirit, right? Walking by the Spirit? Okay, I know that. What is it? Simply speaking, you could walk. You could follow the Spirit. But the interesting thing is, in verse 18, Paul said exactly the same thing in different voices. If you look at verse 18 of chapter 5, Paul didn't say, you have to walk, you have to follow the Spirit. Paul said the same thing, same meaning, in different voice. You read by Spirit. If you look at verse 18, it says, if you are led by the Spirit, exactly the same meaning, but different voice. It is interesting, isn't it? He could have said, just think about it. He could have said, if you follow the Spirit, right? He could have said, if you could follow the Spirit. But there is nothing wrong in saying like that. But in using passive voice, if you are led by the Spirit, Paul emphasized the Spirit's work, the role of the Spirit, not ours. So we don't follow in our strengths. What Paul meant by verse 18, if you are led by Spirit, we are led by the Spirit. If we are led by his power. That's what he meant by walking by the Spirit. But another thing I want to mention from the verses in connection with walking by the Spirit is walk is present tense grammatically. In Greek word, Paul used walk is not past. It means it is present tense, which means continue to walk and keep on walking and stepping by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit is not something you come to in one point in your life and say, oh, from now on, I decide, I commit myself, I'm going to accept the walk, Spirit's walk. It's not kind of a one-time event. Absolutely not. It's not once for all deal. Walk by the Spirit is kind of a continuous walk. It's kind of a daily routine. You just do it every day. Some Christian might say, oh, I used to walk by Spirit, but now I don't. That doesn't make sense. Once you begin walking by Spirit, you can stop because it's continuous work. So you have to walk again, 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 and day by day. So it is walking. It is walking continuously. That's why I decide the title of my sermon is Keep in Step with Spirit. So you have to walk. You have to keep on going. You have to keep on walking by the Spirit. It is day by day, step by step, step by step progress. But by the way, don't forget the walk by Spirit is a command. As I mentioned earlier, walk by the Spirit is mainly primary the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. The work that Spirit of God is in charge. So the role of Spirit is emphasized. But don't miss this part. Paul gives this walking by the Spirit to Colossians Christians as the command. He has given us as a command. Command is for us to do something. So as long as this is a command, our wills are deeply, deeply involved in walking by the Spirit. Here it is there. So you must think about it. You must first of all determine to yield to Spirit's control. It is true, it's God's work. Walking by the Spirit primarily is by the God's work. But you must determine first to yield your will to the Spirit's control. So in order for us to walk by the Spirit, you must be led by Spirit. And also you must want to be coupled to Spirit. You must yield to Spirit's control. Like plug in. Just suppose you guys go to the Costco or Best Buy, purchase a new, brand new TV, then bring it, brand new TV, put it in your living room. You got gorgeous, beautiful, big screen, high technology, brand new TV. So you sit down on the couch and then press the remote control. But still you got black screen. What happened? You got a brand new high technology TV, everything you got for the watching the TV, but you sit down and watching the TV, but still all you got is a black screen. What's wrong with it? Because you didn't plug in. Right? So walking by Spirit is primary God's work, which means you are be led by the Spirit. It's primary God's role. But it is command as well, which means you have to determine to yield your will to the Spirit of God. So you must plug in, you must hook up, then God's work. The other day, a couple of years, maybe 10 years ago, I got a call. As I work in my office, I got a call from my wife. She was in panic, so she called me, "Honey, please come to me. What's wrong with you?" My car is broken. I can't move my car. What's wrong? I don't know. So I ran into where she was. So I tried to make the start engine, but it didn't work out. But it turned, I realized, okay, the reason why I couldn't make an engine start, because the battery is gone, because I'm kind of a genius, right? As a husband, supposed to know everything. So I said, this is the problem is battery. So we need a new battery. I put new battery. I went to the Canadian Tire and then bought new battery and put into my vehicle. So engine start. Yeah, it worked. Then we were driving. But all of a sudden, still again, car stopped. Actually, the problem is not battery. It turned out generator. Even if I put new battery, car wouldn't be fixed permanently. Temporary is working, but it's not permanently. If we live under the law, it's like we got a new battery every year, right? we don't have a generator. But once we are lived under the gospel, walk by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is kind of a generator. We don't need to change the, every year new battery. Right? So Paul says, you know, it is a command. So you must read by the Holy Spirit, but you must determine to yield to spiritual control. So you must hook up. You must plug into Him, into divine source, divine power, because He, Holy Spirit, is kind of a generator. So in order to be read by the Holy Spirit, you must stay hooked up to divine source, divine power. Lastly, but we got some kind of problem here. Walk by the Spirit, it is a command. Yes, I agree. The command is simple enough, but easy to understand. But pulling it off, a little tough, because there is a world. Let's look at verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, but the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. See, there is a conflict involved in walking by the Spirit. That makes Christian life tough. So here is the thing we need to learn from the verse 17. Christians, we may experience a conflict within. Christians is the person who is at war with the desires of the flesh by the power of the Spirit. If you said to yourself, well, Pastor, I have a desire of the flesh still left in me, but it doesn't mean necessarily you are not Christian. Because you are Christian, you have to fight. You have to still fight desire of the flesh. To remember this, we long for the day, right? We long for the day when our flesh will utterly defunct and only our loving desire will fill with our heart. And yet, there is a war within, between flesh and the Spirit. You might want to say, if only there was no conflict, there is no war, there is not no better in our Christian life. But let me tell you the truth. If you're not a Christian, you don't have a fight. If you're not Christian, you don't have any trouble. You just go on and singing and keep committing sin. Just going on. You're just loving it. Keep loving the sin because you are not Christian. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you've got no fight. But for the believer, for the Christian, there is a battle going on. I remember the pastor Rick Warren defined Christian life with the two words. One is blessing. The other is battle. Blessing, battle, blessing, battle, blessing, battle. This is all Christian life is about. As we want to get the more blessing, because we are children of God. It is true, God will bless you with many things, but still there is something going on. What is it? Battle, conflict, war within. There is a huge conflict between spirit and flesh. So for the believers, there is a battle going on. There is a war raising. So take heart. If your soul feels like a battlefield at times, the sign of the whether you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit is not you have no bad desire, but you are at war with them. Now I tell you something. As a Christian, we should recognize in this battle, in this conflict, the victory is guaranteed. So when you take verses 16 and 17 together, the main point of what Paul says is not war, but victory for the Spirit. Verse 16 says, you, second half, you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. The verse 16 promises the victory over the desire of the flesh. Not there won't be a war, but there is the winner of that war will be the Spirit. So it's not surprising then that verse 17, there is a war between our flesh and God's Spirit. It seems the problem at first glance, there is a lively war between flesh and spirit in the Christians. But when you walk by the Spirit, the promise of the victory that the flesh is conquered is guaranteed and available. The victory, this war, this conflict within us is not a matter of gaining victory, because victory is guaranteed. The matter is whether or not we be obedient. So when you walk by the Spirit, the promise of the victory, the flesh is conquered, is available. Victory over the desire of the flesh. So for this reason, as a Christian, we should walk by the Spirit. Then victory is a byproduct of walking by the Spirit. We are not to pursue for the victory. Victory is a byproduct of the obedience. So as we concentrate on walking by the Spirit, we will certainly experience the joy of victory over sin. So I hope you guys, you may experience walking by the Spirit and walk, be obedient to God, then you must determine your will to yield your will to the Spirit's control. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us to see this day. We are so thankful for the Holy Spirit to work amongst our lives. So we thank you for everything you've done for us. You continually intercede for us in day by day ministry. So we thank you for the marvelous promise. We live as we walk step by step with him. Amen.